I am pleased to say that with me now, well, actually, with me via the telephone, I should say, he's not here in the studio, but here on the telephone now, we have local author Jonathan Pinnock. Very good afternoon to you, Jonathan.
Good afternoon, Danny.
Hi, good to have you on board. Okay, I've described you there as a local author. You sort of, am I right in thinking you're like a part-time computer software type person and then part-time writer? Is that how you sort of...
Yes, I mean, the software consultancy stuff is the day job.
Right.
And the writing is fitting in around that.
Oh, okay. So you don't make enough money with writing, you have to do it.
Not yet.
I'm guessing unless you're writing Harry Potter books, you probably don't make a huge amount of money. Would that be right?
That's pretty much the long and short of it, yeah.
Yeah, oh well. So you're local, Jonathan. We've established this. Mm-hmm. You're from, you reside in the St. Albans area. How did you get into writing?
It's something I've always wanted to do, and it never really leaves you alone. And I tried to break through in the early 90s writing kids' books when my children were young.
Mm.
And sort of nearly made a breakthrough, but never, not quite. But then I got into writing computer software books. And I ended up, I wrote one completely myself and co-wrote about another dozen.
Okay.
And then the company I was writing for went bust, and that was the point at which I thought, actually, this is not much fun, and I'd rather get back into writing fiction.
Sure. Okay, and, so you started that in the early 90s. Now, I'm not wishing to pry as to how old you are, but I'm guessing then that if you had young children in the 90s, you wouldn't be that young then yourself. So had you done much writing before that, or was it something you came to at that time in your life?
It's something I came to quite late, I suppose, yeah. I mean, certainly I didn't study English at school to any sort of to A level or anything like that.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Well, that may not necessarily go against you, I suppose. it's funny because when I was at school, I hated English. I didn't enjoy it at all. I would read absolutely what I had to read and nothing more. If I could find the notes instead of actually reading the book itself, better still. Now, I love reading, and I've even... You know, I enjoy writing things from time to time,
yeah,
as well. And yes, now I love it, and I don't know why I didn't before. But I suppose it's just sometimes we just grow up.
It's often the case, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Things to do with as well, perhaps teachers and the enthusiasm that they have for the subject. And
yeah,
our bloke was just counting the days to retirement, I think. I was his star pupil, and I only got a C. Never mind. But okay, so you. We just established there, you started out in the 90s, you were doing some children's books, went on to some software, like non-fiction, obviously, books, and then you kind of went back into fiction. And now you've, in fact, I want you to talk in a minute about this Mrs. Darcy business as well, because I've been quite fascinated following this as well. But yes, tell us about the sort of stuff you got into writing after the software.
I think, it was mainly short stories,
mm-hmm,
simply because... the thing about writing a short story is that you can write a complete thing, and it's a finished object, and you can then submit it to a competition or submit it to be published somewhere, and you can instant feedback.
Okay, and your work. You have been mentioned on the show before, and I must say in a nice way, because we have as a regular contributor to the show, Mark Clementson, who I think you know quite well.
He's a good friend of mine, yes.
Yes, yeah. And he's with the Verulam Writers Circle, of which you're a part of, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And he's mentioned some of the things that you've done before, including this project that I just alluded to there regarding Mrs. Darcy from Pride and Prejudice. But also he mentioned, I think I recall correctly, that you wrote something for Radio 4?
Yes, I did. It was actually about a year ago, almost about exactly a year ago, that I submitted a short story to them, and went through their submission process, and eventually got broadcast in August.
Right, and was that the first time you had such a thing done?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right,
it was quite an exciting experience.
I can imagine. Now, your work, is it available? I mean, could people go into like the local bookstore and find your stuff under P, or are there other ways that people could find your material?
Yeah, you wouldn't probably find any of it in bookstores,
right?
But there are various anthologies that you can find with odd bits of mine in them, and if you go to my website, there are links to quite a few stories online and to the where you can get the anthologies.
Okay, that and that, the website is jonathanpinnock.com.
Okay, right.
We will link to that from our blog a bit later as well. Now, I gather that recently you were published in something, 50 Stories for Pakistan, is that right?
Yes, I was going to mention that. That's an important anthology, that. Yeah, because it's the second anthology that these people have put together. The first one was 100 Stories for Haiti, and I didn't actually get around to submitting to that one. But this one, I was particularly keen to get into this one. So it's for the Pakistan flood appeal.
Sure.
And all sorts of interesting stories are in there.
Okay. Is it? I mean, I must admit, I was quite pleasantly surprised and impressed by how many local authors there appear to be. You know, not necessarily that any of them are household names, but certainly there seems to be lots of people out there in the local area that write. Is that something unique to this area, or are they everywhere?
I don't know. I think if you look around, you'll probably find. There are a lot of budding authors around the place.
Okay, I'm sure there's lots of writers' circles.
Yeah. Certainly the Verulam writers' circle seems to be particularly strong.
Yes,
I would say that, it's a tremendous support group, and I think we all sort of spur each other on.
Sure. I mean, we had one of your other writing colleagues, Oscar Windsor-Smith, on the show last month.
Yeah.
In fact, he had the pub he grew up in. They named it after him, in fact, didn't you know? But that's actually kind of true. He was telling us he grew up in a pub in St Albans, and that pub is now called Oscar's.
Yeah, that is quite extraordinary.
Yes. Complete coincidence, I'm sure. But if I was Oscar, I'd be passing that off as me being the reason for the name anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, I've mentioned about Mrs Darcy. Now, this is something that Jonathan Pinnock... No, you're Jonathan Pinnock. This is something that Mark Clemenson mentioned to us. Sorry, I get confused. It's my age. He mentioned this a while ago. This was quite a... It's an unofficial sequel to Pride and Prejudice, and it's called Mrs Darcy versus the Aliens. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
Now, that sounds crazy. Tell us about it, please.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but basically it started... Now, I think I first got the idea for it back in 2008, I think.
Okay.
And I was chatting to a guy called Toby Frost, who's another author in the Verulam Writers' Circle. Mm-hmm. He's actually had three books published of Space Captain Smith series.
Okay.
And I was chatting to him in the pub after one of our meetings, and we were talking about... I think I just finished reading Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Oh, I read that. That was a good book.
And I was sort of describing to him as basically a Regency novel with added wizards.
Yes.
And then we sort of thinking about other things we could do, and I was sort of saying, what would be really good would be a Regency novel with added aliens. And
I can't believe no one's done it before.
And we were sort of thinking about this, and I thought, I've got to do this. And it was just such a daft idea. And I drew up a synopsis and the first three pages of it, and I submitted it for a competition where you had to do the first three pages and synopsis. And basically the answer came back, this is a really brave venture. And it didn't win anything.
Right.
And I thought, brave venture, that's not good. Brave is not a good word.
Yeah.
Don't like brave. So I sort of put it to one side. And then I sort of went back to it every now and then to sort of see if it was going anywhere.
Mm.
And it was sort of gradually beginning to take shape. And then disaster struck because this thing called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies appeared, at the beginning of last year, I think.
Right.
And that sort of put me completely off because I thought, hang on, this is going to look as if I'm trying to do a rip-off of that.
Yes, of course, yes.
And so I sort of staggered on for a while. But this is where the wonderful thing about the Verulam Writers' Circle comes in, because they were sort of reading it and encouraging me and saying, you've got to carry on with this. And I was sort of saying, I don't want to. And they were saying, you've got to do it.
Yeah.
And eventually they forced me into writing it.
Okay.
And it got to a point where I was still getting nowhere with actually sort of selling the idea to anyone commercially.
Mm.
And I thought, the only way I'm going to do this is actually by publishing it online and seeing if I can get an audience for it that way.
Right.
And then sort of somehow turn that into a proper commercial proposition. And so last December, I just sat down and started. I sort of got hold of the Mrs. Darcy vs. the Aliens URL.
Yeah.
So I've got that and set up a Twitter account for her and started publishing it. And the most extraordinary coincidence was that the day that I published the first episode turned out to be Jane Austen's birthday.
Well, you see.
I just didn't know. I had no idea. And I suddenly realised it after I'd done it. And I thought,
Well, I wouldn't let on about that. Don't tell anyone. You want to keep that quiet, because that when I saw that in my preparation for today's interview, I just assumed that was done as a tribute to Jane Austen. Now I found out it was a fluke. It's diminished it somewhat. Yes.
Is that significant?
So if people want to read this, then they can go to the website MrsDarcyVsTheAliens.com.
Yes.
And it's all on there. And you've done it in kind of very small, bite-sized
episodes,
haven't you?
Yeah, what I've done is twice a week I publish an episode, which is about sort of 600, 700 words.
Mm.
And it's building to a climax now, and it should sort of finish beginning of December.
Okay. Well, we'll link to that as well from our blog, so people can follow that. I love this quote on your on the page for Mrs. Darcy versus the Aliens. I'm going to amend it slightly. You probably know the quote I'm talking about, but it describes it not so much as Pride and Prejudice's sequel as the illegitimate offspring following a drunken one-night stand with the X-Files. I think that's brilliant. but well, thank you for telling us about this and telling us about the work that you're doing there. I'm sure people in the local area would be fascinated by it. And would you say that if people listening are inspired perhaps to give writing a go, I mean, is it difficult?
It's difficult at first.
Right.
I would say that, I mean, the number of times before I really got going that I would sort of, I'd think of, oh, great idea for a story.
Hmm.
You start writing it and then it just peters out.
Right.
And certainly I think a lot of people, they think, I've got a great idea for a novel, I shall start off with that, and they'll never get anywhere with that.
Mm.
You need to learn your craft by starting off on short stories.
Sure.
That's not to say that short stories are necessarily a lesser art form than novels, because writing decent short stories is as difficult and sometimes more difficult than writing a novel.
Mm.
But I think you need to start off certainly with that to actually get the idea of where you're going.
Okay. I suppose there's another piece of advice that you'd perhaps offer, not wishing to put words in your mouth, but if anybody listening is thinking of giving this writing lark a bit of a go, then they could do far worse than to maybe make contact with the Verulam Writers' Circle.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, they're absolutely essential. I mean, nothing that what I've done would have been possible without them. You cannot sit on your own and write.
Mm.
You need a group to give you feedback, to encourage you, to tell you where you're going wrong, and to see what other people are doing.
Okay. Well, Jonathan, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with us this afternoon. Just to finish, something that we sometimes do with our guests here on Drive Time is we have 10 questions, and I haven't warned you about this, but these are very quick-fire questions, and they're all either-ors. So you'll be asked, for example, apples or oranges, and you've just got to give an answer. And this will help us to discover the real Jonathan Pinnock.
Okay.
So are you ready for this?
Yep.
Okay, then. Number one, rap or reggae?
Reggae.
Number two, Batman or Spider-Man?
Batman.
Number three, rhyme or prose?
Ooh, tricky. Prose.
Number four, radio or TV?
Radio.
Thank you, good one. Number five, DVD or cinema?
Cinema.
Number six, school or university?
University.
Number seven, Dylan or Lennon?
Lennon.
Number eight, EastEnders or Coronation Street?
Can I go for neither?
you can if you want.
Yeah, neither of those.
Okay. Number nine, Pamela Anderson or Keira Knightley?
Uh, oh, Patrick, Kieran Knightley.
And number 10, fame or fortune?
Ah, that's a tricky one as well. I like fame.
That's interesting. Some people who seem to have thought about this a lot longer often go for fortune because they say then that with money you can buy fame. But yes.
There's less value to it, I think, if you buy it.
Oh, I see. You want to earn your fame.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, there you go then. That's what an answer. Anyway, Jonathan, thanks ever so much. If people want to check out your website, it's jonathanpinnock.com, mm-hmm. or they can go to our blog, westhartsdrivetime.blogspot.com, where they'll see all the links to all the various things that you're doing online. But thank you very much. And when you perhaps have something, you know, like your next big publication or book signing or whatever it is that you writers do let us know, and we'd love to have you back on the show.
Will do.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. No problem at all.
It's been fun.
Thank you.